I'm about to preach through the very same scripture that Pastor Kathy preached through last week, and you're going to see it up on the screen, and it's not a mistake that I'm going to do John 12, and it is not my response sermon to Kathy's. Kim and I used to do that. We'd write together, and if she didn't like what I was writing, she would respond to it the next week. We're not doing that. I have not listened to your sermon yet, Kathy. That's part of my devotion for tomorrow. But I wanted to do that because this passage of Jesus being anointed at dinner has parallel passages in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have this story. So it is very important to the infant church. It was a very important story, but none of the four stories tell it the same. It's fascinating. In each story, Jesus has himself anointed by a woman. But in each story, the supporting cast is different, along with the setting and context. Also different in the three tellings of the story is when the anointing took place during the earthly ministry. The act itself, head or feet. The motivation for the anointing, the response of the crowd, the lesson Jesus draws are all different. It's fascinating. And none of the stories, none of the telling are necessarily right or wrong. None of the stories are necessarily, this is how it happened in history, this is the gospel writer's interpretation. I don't care about either any of those. What I do care about is that it is important to be told to the whole church by each of the gospel writers. And so we look at it and say, this is the Word of God. How does the Word of God speak to each and every one of us? That's the important thing here. Your conclusions from the stories are going to be different than mine and are going to be different than the person next to you. But the anointing of Jesus by a woman in the three separate Gospels teaches us different lessons, different emphases. So let's begin with John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. In John, the anointing takes place very, very late in Jesus' ministry, right before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It takes place in Bethany, near Jerusalem. This is the house of Lazarus. And we're told in the raising of Lazarus, this is the house of his sisters, Martha and Mary. That Martha and Mary. And they gave a dinner for him. Martha served. Lazarus was one at table with him. So Jesus is the guest of honor. This dinner is not just supper on a Thursday night. This is Jesus as the honored guest. And you have to love that little bitty phrase, and Martha served. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is Mary's house, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and she has every right to be at the table. This is where she belongs. And so she's just one of the honored people there. And there's never been a person in any of the Gospels who is more honored than Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Remember, this is the Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, taking the better portion. This is the Mary who, along with Martha, be one of the first people in history to declare, truly, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. So there's no other person in the world who has more of a right to be touching Jesus. And she anoints his feet and wipes the perfume with her hair. And just think of how the rest of the dinner guests are all blessed by that fragrance of that perfume. Everyone enjoyed the beauty of the moment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" And John tells us he said this because he cared more. He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common person used to steal what was put into it. Judas is immediately identified as betrayer and thief. He doesn't give a darn about the poor. He just wants to steal the dough. And Judas makes his disparaging comments known to everybody at the dinner. He says it loud, and his hypocrisy is on full display. And Jesus then said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Think for yourself. Angry Jesus? Is this an angry Jesus? And if so, how do you feel about the Lord being angry? And I never caught before the phrase, "she bought it." So Mary was prepared for the death of our Lord. How did she know the time was near? And Jesus' lesson here is that there will always be the poor who need help. Always. You'll always have the poor among you. Always. And he's not talking about people who pretend to be in need or people who pretend and then try to rip off others. Jesus says, yes, there is always a need. And his whole life shows us that we always have to be prepared to help those in need. We always have to be prepared to reach out. But this is a time when he is about to die. And so Mary, the mother of sister, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, has reached out for his burial. So now we jump to Luke 7, beginning with verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. This is very early in Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke. It takes place early on in Galilee, which is not only geographically far away from Jerusalem, but religiously very far from Jerusalem. And this is a Thursday or a Wednesday night supper. The Pharisees said, "Hey, I'm having chicken tonight. Come on over." And Jesus goes over. And so this is just supper. And one of the Pharisees implies that he's just one of the babble, one of the crowd. Maybe an enemy of Jesus at this point in the ministry, that's not clearly defined. Seems to be a regular guy at a regular supper, and Jesus is one of the diners. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. The identification of the woman is very clear. Anyone who knows the kind of the code of how we say things, it's pretty clear. She's a sinner. She's a woman in the city. She is a prostitute. There's no other way to identify her. This woman is a prostitute. And she had to hear about Jesus being at the dinner because no one would ever invite her into their home. Her coming into the home at this moment makes the Pharisee unclean, makes Jesus unclean, according to the law of Moses, makes Jesus unclean, all the diners and even the house unclean. She just spoiled the party. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her hair, with her tears, and dry them with her hair. She continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Luke is the only narrator that says this woman can't even face Jesus. That this woman is crying, weeping, the tears are flowing out of her onto Jesus' feet. She is ashamed. She's even ashamed to be with Jesus. And even doing this loveliest of acts, she can't face him. Now, if there is ever a person in history who should not have touched Jesus, it is this woman. She's a sinner. She's unclean. She's a prostitute. Mary, the sister of Martha, had every right to touch Jesus. This woman has no right. Her tears cover Jesus' feet. She dries them with her hair. She kisses them and only then anoints his feet. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he'd know who and what kind of woman this is who's touching him, that she's a sinner. Now the Pharisee may be irked because she's unclean and she just spoiled the party. And she says it either to himself or under his breath, this insult of both the woman and Jesus. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. Simon, I got something. You got something to say? I got something to say to you. And this is the only time he's identified by name. This is Simon the Pharisee. It's the only identifier we have. Simon the Pharisee. Jesus continues, a certain creditor has two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both of them. Which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged wisely. Jesus tells him an obvious story with an obvious conclusion. Simon gets it. Jesus congratulates him for getting it. Almost. He was close. Then turning to the woman, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you. And in the original language, it's Jesus always stops when something is important and says, amen, amen, I say unto you. You know, we see it still in the King James. Amen, amen, I say unto you. And that's what he says here. And so this gets everybody's attention because now they know this is important. Amen, amen, I say unto you. I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Jesus chastises Simon for the simplest thing, hospitality. Hospitality. He points out that the woman is to be congratulated because of her hospitality. Very simple. So Jesus is basically telling us when we are hospitable, when we're just simply being polite with each other, doing normal, nice things with and for each other, we are to be congratulated. Simple hospitality is important to Jesus. Also important to Jesus, what goes around comes around. If you love a lot, you will be loved a lot. But if you love little, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Now those who were at table with him began saying amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus forgives even the worst of us. We have no right to touch Jesus. We have no right to take the bread and the cup. But Jesus has forgiven us and saves us and gives these to us as our gift. Our faith has saved us. Be at peace with that. Okay. So we've seen much differences in Luke and John in the anointing story. Now we go to Matthew and Mark. And there's much in common that Matthew and Mark have with both of the other Gospels. And they don't really differ a whole lot. So we're just going to focus on Matthew 26. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, so we're back at the end of Jesus' ministry in the context of the Gospel of Matthew. We're back at the end of the ministry. After Jesus makes the triumphal entry, John puts it before the triumphal entry. Matthew puts it after the triumphal entry. Do you think there's any significance to this timing? Matthew and Mark put us back in Bethany near Jerusalem. Luke has us up in Galilee. Is there a significance? The context here is that Jesus has just preached a series of parables about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And in one of the last parables he speaks, it's the sheep and the goats. You know, when I was in jail, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. Lord, when did I see these things? When you did it unto the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. So that's one of the last things we have before this story. And now we're at Simon's house. Please note that he's not a Pharisee anymore. He's a leper. And so Simon is himself unclean. He shouldn't be at, Jesus shouldn't be at his table because Simon himself is not clean. But here we are at Simon's house for dinner. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head and he sat at table. A woman came to him. That's the only identification we have of her. This is not the sister of Martha, the highly honored Mary. This is not Mary Magdalene, and not identified as Mary Magdalene, not identified as Mary, the mother of God, not identified as the other Mary we'll see later in the resurrection. This is just a woman who has no name. So this isn't a great saint like Mary, the sister of Martha, or a great sinner like in Luke. This woman is one of us who are in between, a mixture of saint and sinner. So while Jesus accepts Mary's touch, he accepts the prostitute's touch, he accepts our touch. We're nobody special, but Jesus makes us special by being with him. She comes to the table and pours the very costly ointment on his head. In our three tellings, this is the only time it's not on his feet, but over his head. And there's no wiping with the hair. There's no tears. This is a very common gesture, actually. Well, boom, the woman comes, she anoints Jesus. But when the disciples saw it, this very common everyday gesture, when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." Literally the same words Judas used in the Gospel of John. But Judas's anger and his protest is phony baloney. He wants to steal the money. The disciples just heard, "When you give to the least of our brothers and sisters, you give unto me." In their hearts, that's what they want to do. They are there because of who they are. They want to minister. They want to reach out. They always want to give more than they even know sometimes, more than they're even capable of realizing sometimes. They really wanted to give to the poor, minister to the least of our brothers and sisters. But Jesus, aware of this, aware of their anger, said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? She has performed a good service for me." Jesus being aware of this is a huge line for me because it implies that maybe they were talking amongst themselves and they didn't want Jesus to overhear them. They didn't intend for Jesus to know what they were thinking. So we have Judas in the telling in John, who's telling the whole world, "Look at this. This, I could have used this to serve the poor," and not meaning a word of it. Then we have Simon, the Pharisee, who might have only been thinking about it, maybe a whisper under his breath. And here the apostles are talking amongst themselves. And Jesus knows each time. Jesus knows us. That's a huge lesson for me in this. There's no place, there's no time, there's no inkling that I have that Jesus isn't aware of in forgiving me for so most of it. So Jesus knows what they're thinking. And he says, why trouble the woman? So I get the picture that the disciples are whispering to her and chewing her out. And Jesus says, whoa, she has done good for me. Verse 11, for you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Jesus here returns, and Matthew returns to the lesson we had in John, that there will always be poor who need help. Always be true poor, not somebody who's trying to rip us off or, you know, whatever. There'll always be people who need help. And Jesus says, yes, there's always a need. And his whole life shows when it is so appropriate for us to always give. For when we give to others, we give it to him. Truly, I tell you, again, amen, amen, I say to you. So they're listening. This is important. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news, the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. I think this is the point Jesus is talking to us. Whether we be a great sinner, great saint, or most of us right here in between. However the good news is proclaimed, whenever the good news is proclaimed, wherever the good news is proclaimed through all the world, through words, through actions, through love, through sentiment, through sacrament, through gospel. Wherever the word is proclaimed, whenever we do, and I think at this point, this is the illustration for the teaching. Whenever you do for your brothers and sisters, you do for me. I think this is the story is in Luke, in Matthew, the illustration. For whenever we do for our brothers and sisters, we do for Jesus Christ, and we are honored by our actions, and it will be remembered.